We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The following is a special edition of the Mark Reardon Show.
Live from the 100th PGA Championship at Belrive Country Club and the National Car Rental Studios, it's Mark Reardon.
He's been the talk of the course today with his huge drives and his amazingly bizarre behavior.
Now, Mark Reardon on your official PGA Championship information station, KMOX.
Well, good afternoon, live from Belrive Country Club, overlooking the practice range here, right adjacent to the 18th fairway, which is Dan Reardon, dead right now. And if people could have seen this 18th hole earlier, especially when Phil Mickelson came through and Tiger Woods came through, it was craziness. But now, a little pro tip for people coming this afternoon, Dan, you can get some good views from some of these holes on the back nine.
Yeah, I mean, all I could see was 18 and 17, the area in front of 17 green. And when I say no spectators, that's not an exaggeration. There's some people leaning up against the fence, but on the fairways, there's zero people.
I went up to someone out here right behind us, we were broadcasting, and I said, have you guys been here all day? I'm like, are they just going off? I was confused. I thought, are they just sending people off the front nine at this point and not having anyone tee off? No, they're coming through. There was no one on the tee box, so the big names, as we have expected, are getting huge crowds. I mean, Tiger's crowds this morning, and even Phil Mickelson with that group. By the way, I think I showed you the pictures. So I'm working my way down the fairways. I was real smart this morning, Dan. I went to the front nine when the big names were on the back nine. Nobody there, great views, but I was kind of bored because there weren't big names coming through. So as I was on 18 waiting for Phil and those guys to tee off, Mickelson hit a shank to the left, off the fairway, hit this guy in the leg, left a mark on his leg, and I was that guy that you always see on TV where the ball is right in front of you, and it was in the middle of the cart path, and then Phil, it was funny because he had to drop, it took the club length, he did a drop, the official came in and said his arms were raised a little too high, his arms were raised by his cap, and the official said, no, it has to be shoulder length, and Phil was very, you know, matter of fact, okay, but it's still, you've seen these guys for so many years, he clears a path that I could barely ride my bike through and doesn't seem nervous about it. He goes, oh, you guys are fine on the right-hand side, but over the left, move over. And then he has a beautiful shot to the green. That's, you know, what these guys can do.
You know, last year at Quail Hollow, I was out on the first fairway when Charlie Hoffman was playing. I just wanted to see the golf course, and Hoffman just hit this horrible drive. And he hit it down a slope, and he's literally in a grove of trees. And it's a dogleg right hole, and I sort of know where the green is. And same thing you're talking about. They're rearranging spectators. And I'm thinking, well, this is a layup. He's just got to play it out in the open. And he wails away at this thing, puts it on the green. Just a phenomenal golf shot.
Amazing. It is amazing. All right, so where are we right now? I was in the media room watching Ricky Fowler get interviewed after a great round. He's our leader right now, minus five. Shoots a 65, and there's a bunch of people knotted up at minus three right now. Ian Poulter had a good round. Tiger Woods not having the best round. He did birdie a couple on back nine, and he's even.
Yeah, it's important to identify that he did come back. He started out bogey, double bogey on 10 and 11, and then he came back. So he's three over after two holes, and he finishes one over for the day. So the rest of the round, although if you saw him play, the rest of the round was not fairways and greens necessarily. He did a lot of scrambling to keep that round together. But the one over is, you know, he's within six shots of what will probably be. You know, if you were in there with Ricky, you know that Ricky talked about that he thought the greens would be chewed up this afternoon, that it's a little different scoring today because of the soft and maybe beat up greens a little bit.
I think he's right about that, too.
And so, but, you know, you also talk about no galleries. I mean, the number one player in the world has yet to tee off. Dustin Johnson has yet to go off. The number two attraction, perhaps, in the field is Jordan Spieth. He has yet to tee off. So these smaller galleries, I'm assuming, are going to change.
I think they will,
and you'll
yeah.
get the traffic coming back to you.
Yeah, it's just a couple of words here if you're coming out this weekend. And this was the day that was not sold out, but it is jam-packed. However, it is mostly focused on those big names. And, Dan, we talked about this again. If you get in early in the morning, you can find your spot. You find a good spot in the shade, but you do have to get here early. I pass, because I live out in Fenton, I pass that parking area. Luckily, I know my back roads just to get off onto the outer roads and onto Bowles and onto 44. It would have taken me forever, but you have to leave yourself plenty of time. And I'd say the earlier you can get up tomorrow morning or Saturday or Sunday, the better to get here, because it'll just be a little bit more efficient and less stressful. Now, one of the things that happened yesterday, and we're going to have the guy that runs the championship shop, Brian Quirk, on with me in a little bit, too, talking about all the things that are up there and all the donations that St. Louisans are making, millions and millions of dollars. But the PGA got hacked yesterday, and it was a Bitcoin ransom situation. You know a little bit about this. What happened?
Well, I had gone through this in my other incarnation, which is in education, and I was doing IT. And I'm not a network guy, but I understand what's going on. And we had the same thing happen to us 2 years ago. And basically, if you say hacked, you think of people going into your computer, being able to control things, people being able to take things off of your computer. That's not what happened. What happened is they were penetrated by spy bots, or a little software robots that went in and then went searching for files. And when they got to those files, they encrypted them. They locked them down. And with the lockdown, there's an attached message that says, if you want to de-encrypt these things, send us whatever that sum of money might be.
Yeah, it's like they call it a Bitcoin wallet number, right?
Right.
And that was...
And that's non-traceable currency.
Yeah. Man, that is... And I guess one of the files that was compromised was Creative Materials for the Ryder Cup in France. So at this point, they didn't pay the ransom, right?
It's always that was our dilemma. Do you pay the ransom? First of all, you don't know if you get if they're going to give you the actual code. Although I was told when we were dealing with the FBI, I was told that it's good for business for them to not have a reputation for not giving the actual ones. Ours was Johnny Cryptogram was the one. Like I said, it's not a big deal because it doesn't affect this championship. It's not the files going on. This came up yesterday afternoon. Somebody said to me, and they said, I don't understand. Their computers are all working. Well, first of all, it's not on the computers that are here. I'm pretty sure these are on the servers down in Florida for the PGA headquarters, so it's not even on site. But it is an issue because they're losing stuff that they have spent a lot of time creating. If their people are good, and they're good, they will have done backups, and overnight they'll kick those computers back a day or two, and they'll be in good shape again.
A couple of questions that people have asked me over the course of the week that I cannot answer. I'm going to toss them to you, and I always forget how these things are determined. But the cut line tomorrow, how will that be determined? What's your anticipation?
I think it's 60 in ties. It might be 70 ties. I always have to check because each tournament is a little different. You know, like the Masters has a smaller field, so their number is a little different. But I believe I'm going to say 60 in ties.
Which means what?
The top 60 scores.
Okay. You lost me there for a moment.
The top 60 scores and who's ever tied
right
at that 60th position.
Plus one and then, or plus four, whatever
correct
it might be.
Correct. Question number two that you're going to stump me with.
I don't know if I could think about it right now because my brain is not working. But that would be, the expectation would be then if you had to pick a number at this point. Is that too difficult
to do? It's a little early, although I will say I looked before I came out and I think there were 28 players in red numbers. So right now you're looking at, if you double that figure up to like two or three, I would say right now we're looking at like three or four over. But I think that's going to be a little high because I think we will see better scores. The other thing is I talked to one of your weather people from KMOV, and she told me we're going to have weather both tomorrow and Saturday, and that will change
yes
either positively or negatively what that's going to be. A couple of other things that you mentioned people coming out, and we've talked about where to go. Well, I can tell you where to go right now for this championship for the next couple of days. And I have a bet with one of the employees out here, which I knew was going to be a slam dunk, is what's going to be the hardest hole out here over the 4 days. Well, six is a runaway leader. Six,
yeah.
I knew it was going to be the case. And six is right now playing at like 3.5 strokes to par. It's a par three.
I was there early. I didn't see any hit the water. I saw three hit the water yesterday during the practice round. But again, you can't judge it on that because they were probably being a little bit more aggressive.
There were only four birdies when I checked, and
wow,
there were six doubles or higher, and that's halfway through today's round.
Do you have a sense of when these guys approach these first couple of days, because you want to make the cut, you want to be in contention, but are they mentally, not that you don't want to throw up a 65 like Fowler did, but you also don't want to play yourself out of contention here on the first day, right? Is that part of it, or these guys are so good they have to just do what they need to do?
The answer is yes, you don't want to play yourself out of contention. The question is, how conservative are you doing to do that?
That's my question.
And Ricky talked about that a little bit in his interview, that he was more intent on finding fairways and finding greens and taking advantage of opportunities. I think you'll see that certainly the first day. like I said, the weather is a big part of this because this is probably as gettable as the golf course is going to be until perhaps Sunday now. The morning round is probably the best opportunity you've had to score out here because this afternoon the greens will be a little beat up. Tomorrow you'll be dealing with weather circumstances and the same thing. So don't assume that 5-under multiplied by 4, 20-under wins this championship. That's not necessarily the case. It could be higher, it could be lower. I would expect right now that the course is gettable under par, but we're not seeing electric scores out there. We're not seeing 63s and 62s. So I think the golf course has a lot of integrity, and I don't think the players will become more aggressive on this.
So Justin Thomas finished at minus one. He was in the Tiger group, wasn't he?
He was in the Tiger group with Rory.
I'm watching him at nine as they finished the round before I got caught up in the logjam of Tiger traffic. And he hit the trap. He hit the bunker off his tee shot. And when he tried to hit out of the bunker, it was like one of the shots that I would make, or a lot of weekend golfers, because it barely went 25 yards. And he, you know, it was a tough shot. He didn't hit well. But I'm looking at the score. I think he still saved par on that hole.
Well, I don't know. A Tiger on, I believe it was 15, sailed his drive way right into the rough, played a shot. He had an open shot to the green but and wanted to cut the ball. He hooked it into the gallery. Now he's below that green with the really steep bunker and puts it like 4 feet past and makes the save for par. These guys are magical in that sense. If you were spending any time in that group, the question I would want to know is, did you spend enough time to watch Rory hit tee shots?
I saw him hit a tee shot at 18, and I was basically on the fairway around the greens for the rest of it because it was tough to get close to those tee boxes. Why do you ask that?
Because if you're behind Rory when he hits a tee shot, you get the impression the ball is actually never going to come down. I mean, and that's unique to Rory. Dustin is very smooth.
You mean because he hits them so high?
And it just explodes off his club. Watching Rory hit balls on the range would be worth the price of admission. But to see
I'll look for him since we're right here. But I can get right up there.
But to see him on the golf course, I think he is the most impressive driver of the golf ball that we have in the game right now.
So on nine, Justin Thomas had some trouble there, but on nine, Rory hit one. It wasn't OB because it was temporary structure, but he shanked it, big slice, and then he had to take a drop out of the rough, but I think he had a pretty good shot up there after that.
And I'm guessing he doesn't even hit driver off that tee because that hole is not terribly long for them.
I don't think he did, and I don't think Tiger did either. Danny Willett came through there a little bit earlier and outdrove those guys by like 40, 50 yards. I'm assuming he hit driver. I wasn't at the tee box, but where did Rory end up for the day? I'm looking at the leaderboard right now.
I think he was plus one is what I saw as the finish.
All right, so Ricky Fowler, Austin Cook with a 67 today is at minus three. Ian Poulter had a great round. He started off pretty hot, and then he settled back down. I guess he managed to, you know, save enough shots at the end for minus three. Pat Perez, I was watching Pat play for a while.
Fun guy.
Not one of the better-known players. Kind of flamboyant. Wears a orange bright shirt, longer hair.
Absolutely.
He had a good round. He's minus three.
Mid-40s and has had a resurgence in his career.
Jason Day's at minus three. Brian Gay at minus three, and Stuart Sink throwing up a good number with a 67.
Stuart has played better this year. He's really had a nice comeback, and even though it's only one day, I'm really enthused because my pick, Jason Day, is sitting there only two shots off the lead.
All right, I'm looking for Tommy Fleetwood this afternoon. Dan Reardon, you're going to join us a little bit later, and I appreciate it's a fun day out here. Just come out and have a good time. I mean, if this is on your list, even if you don't think you can get close to a hole, and just come out and have fun. It's great. The crowds have been great. Really impressive. I think the players have let us know that they're impressed with St. Louis. Many of them said they had not seen practice rounds like this before. So it's going to be a big weekend here in St. Louis.
And comfortable conditions.
Thank you, Dan Reardon. We're back with more live at the PGA and the National Car Rental Studio from Bellerive Country Club in a moment on KMOX.
Live from the 100th PGA Championship at Bellerive Country Club and the National Car Rental Studios, it's Mark Reardon.
The reason the game is called golf is because all the other four-letter words have been taken.
Now, back to Mark Reardon on your official PGA Championship information station, KMOX.
Yeah, a bunch of the big names are off the course right now. Ricky Fowler shooting 65, minus five. He's in the clubhouse. Austin Cook at minus three. A bunch of guys knotted up at minus three. But big names still to even tee off this afternoon. We're going to keep you posted. Dan Reardon with updates. Chris Raby's here at the course. Tom Ackerman doing some awesome interviews as well. So we'll have all of that for you this afternoon. And I have some folks that I've chatted with throughout the course of the day as well that we'll visit with throughout this show. We're going to be out here live tomorrow doing the roundtable. Jane Duker and also Jeff Rainford. I got to think about my panelists tomorrow, and Chris Goodson live here at the PGA Championship. Should be fun. And I even decided I think I'm going to do my review for Great Day St. Louis out here. I ran into Kent Earhart. He said, "Yeah, we're out here. Just come here," because I was going to go downtown and do that. That's going to save me a little trip since I have to be here tomorrow. Let's talk a little politics this afternoon. Josh Krasauer from the National Journal with us this afternoon to talk about the crazy stuff in Washington and elsewhere. How are you, Josh?
Not bad, Mark. I'm actually in Phoenix, Arizona today. No, not in Washington, but since President Trump decided to leave the city, I figured I'd do some campaign reporting in a state that has a lot on the line politically.
A lot of times I finish with baseball, but did you guys really pick up Greg Holland on the Nationals? God bless you. You can have him.
Mark, we released two of our better pitchers in the bullpen because they had some personal issues. And our bullpen, we lost our closer. Our second closer got injured. We empathize with you. We've got some of the same relievers. Yeah. It's a tough year in Washington.
Yeah, you know, I think we both had, I think, Washington arguably higher expectations. But where are they in the wild card right now? We're like four out, I think, of the wild card.
Yeah, I actually was at, got to go to the Diamondbacks-Phillies game yesterday afternoon here. And they lost. Phillies lost. Had a chance, Nationals had a chance to make up a big game. And they... No, national television has just laid an egg. So this is they're only about, I think, 4.5 games out of the wild card, but it feels like a lot more than that.
So one of the things that I always like about you, Josh, over the years is you kind of keep things in perspective, and I think you sort of follow the philosophy that I have about getting too ahead of things when it comes to predictions based on past elections. But, you know, there are some things, and there's some red warning flags for Republicans. But let's talk about Ohio. I think that let me just pick on the national media without calling them fake news. I think a lot of people were ready to say blue wave, blue wave. And if this seat would have gone D in Ohio, that would have been the narrative. Now, it was a very, very close race in a strongly held Republican red district. So what do you sort of extract or extrapolate from that victory? A narrow one by the Republican, Danny O'Connor. It was the Democrat, Troy Balderson, the incumbent the other night.
Well, let me make a baseball analogy to kind of illustrate the stakes in that election. Now, let's say you're the New York Yankees, you're one of the best teams in baseball, and you play the Baltimore Orioles, and you may win, you know, maybe split a series, but you look really uninspiring. You're just not playing a lot of good baseball against one of the worst teams in the league. That's a warning sign, even though you may come away with a couple wins in a long series. And that's sort of the political equivalent of what happened in Ohio. The district is actually one of the most Republican districts in the state. It's an area that, you know, it hasn't elected a Democratic congressman since 1980. So 38 years have gone by. And it's a one-point race. They basically covered the spread pretty significantly. So, look, a win is a win. Republicans should be breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief. But the big picture still remains that the national environment heading into the November midterms is just very, very tough for Republicans. If you can't win a safely Republican, if you can barely win, rather, a safely Republican seat, it's just not a good omen for all these swing seats that are going to be on the ballot.
So we have the race that we expected here in Missouri with Josh Hawley winning his primary against Senator Claire McCaskill. This is going to be one to watch nationally. You're dialed into it. I'm hoping we get you here in St. Louis or in Missouri to follow this race a little bit, Josh.
Yeah, no, I actually, good chance I'll be in town. It's one of the premier Senate races, Kansas, you know, not too far away. Kansas, I know it's not Missouri, but Kansas City has one of the biggest House races in the country with a former MMA fighter that the Democrats nominated against Kevin Yoder down across the border in Kansas City. And the governor's race there is also pretty interesting. So, you know, Missouri's going to be, the thing about the Missouri Senate race is you've got a very conservative candidate who's in Josh Hawley, who's pretty much sticking with Trump 100% of the time and feels like you can win a Republican state by being loyal to President Trump. And you've got a Democratic senator in Claire McCaskill who, you know, she's independent every once in a while, but she's pretty much a party line type of member. She doesn't feel the need as much as some of her counterparts to tack to the right on some of the big issues before Congress. So this is really a test of the bases. And, whether if you're a Republican like Hawley, just being with Trump all the time is enough to win in a red state.
So the nature of everything from the president this week, maybe it's just my imagination, and again, I'm a little distracted because of the PGA Championship, but he's been pretty quiet. I think he on vacation this week, technically?
He's spending time in Bedminster at the golf course in New Jersey, so he's having a little downtime for the next week and a half.
And that includes, is he downtime on Twitter? Because I haven't seen any reaction. What is CNN doing? I haven't watched CNN in the last couple of days. What are they going to talk about?
Well, there's always news going on. You know, the big news, I think, of the last 24 hours is that the Trump administration imposed additional sanctions on Russia, which is, you know, it's sort of a schizophrenic foreign policy. But, you know, Trump has been trying to be more diplomatic, being more conciliatory towards Vladimir Putin. But the policy coming out of the administration continues to be a pretty hardline one, a pretty tough one again. And it was sanctions are related to the chemical weapons attack in England that took place. So, you know, this is one of those issues where the challenge for the Republicans is Trump's tweets can sometimes really cause problems for Republican candidates down the ballot. When you look at the policies, you know, usually most candidates in swing states and red states alike are pretty much in line with what Trump is standing for.
Have you been following the Manafort case or not?
You know, in as much as you are, you know, the taking place right across the river, and it's a pretty sordid tale of the relationship between Manafort and his business partner, Rick Gates. But, you know, I couldn't give you any legal sense on how the things are going.
Well, it's a pretty complicated, detailed case, and Rick Gates was testifying a long time, and there's, you know, extramarital affairs and all this money going on. It's hard to get a handle of it because that's not the focus of all the news coverage. Maybe in a different time this would get nonstop coverage and it would be easily explained, but it is a little complicated, and I don't know how it really affects Bob Mueller's case overall, because there were some things that have happened over the, you know, the last couple of days. At least it's my understanding that this was a seemingly slam dunk case, which has had some obstacles as the prosecutors are moving through with this case this week. So we'll have to see how it turns out. Josh, enjoy the stay in Arizona. I forgot. Are you doing business there or pleasure?
The campaign trail. And I managed to get in a baseball game at the first time I'd been to Chase Field in Phoenix. And it's a nice park. And the Phillies lost. So that was a good sign for me.
All right. Well, we'll talk soon, and I hope you can get the Nats back on track. It's been a struggle. Although the Cardinals, you know, we've won 4 series in a row, or if you've been following that. So we're on a bit of a run here, but the Cubs, you know, we need to lose a little too.
It's remarkable how similar the trajectory of the Nats and the Cardinals have been this season. And we've been on a little bit of a run, but we lost the last 2 against Atlanta. So it's an up and down season for the Nationals.
All right. Josh Krosshauer from the National Journal. He's the politics editor. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Mark.
Live from the 100th PGA Championship at Belle Reve Country Club and the National Car Rental Studios, it's Mark Reardon.
The sure way to get a par is to leave a 4-foot birdie putt 2 inches from the hole.
Now, back to Mark Reardon on your official PGA Championship information station, KMOX.
Mike Quirk is here, the Senior Director of Merchandising and Licensing for the PGA. Arguably one of the most important jobs out here this week, right?
Besides the superintendent, we like to do what we can in our area.
You know, there's been a lot of buzz, and obviously this shop opened even before the practice rounds, and it's just amazing. I've been to a couple of PGA championships, but for those people who have not been out here, it's about the size of a Walmart, isn't it?
That's right. Football field is what we say. The people we've seen coming through this week and last weekend, I think they're happy, and that's our biggest thing is, you know, number one is to make sure that we've got the merchandise here for them to buy and that it's a great product offering, but also the experience side. And from the comments we've heard, I think it's been very positive to date.
How much merchandise, can you throw any numbers to me? How much merchandise are we going through or sales figures? I don't know how much you guys reveal. Can you give us a little bit of perspective on the amount of stuff that's sold here?
All I can say is that St. Louis has fully embraced the PGA Championship, and in the merchandise world where we live, has absolutely surpassed our expectations, and we couldn't be happier to be here.
You know, I was out here probably about 2 weeks before the tournament started, and this building was just getting finished, the construction of it, and I can't even tell you how many UPS vans were back here. I think it was UPS vans with all the merchandise boxes in them. I may or may not have tried to take a couple of them, but I didn't succeed. But yeah, those things, I mean, how long does it take just to set up this merchandise? I don't even want to call it a tent. We just call it like a building. But this is months and months, right?
It is. It's actually pretty much 12 months in the making from the product selection side of things, approvals, staff, 30 days from start to finish to get the tent up with our, you know, fixtures, everything, you name it, to get ready to open. There's a lot that goes into it. But it's worth it. And like I said, I mean, when we get this up, There's a lot of blood and sweat that goes into it.
Yeah.
But to see the reaction of people who have been waiting for this event for as long as they have, it's couldn't ask for better reactions.
Well, I've been through and made some donations already. I got to compliment the staff in there, and I'm guessing these are local people that you got trained because they're moving people through very quickly and efficiently.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I have an unbelievable staff, and then we bring a class of interns in. But of course, as we say, the volunteers are what make it run. You know, this thing, we try to make it a machine. And the volunteers are like the fuel for the machine. And we've got 800 just for merchandise. And you got 50 registers back there, which they man and they keep things going. But all from St. Louis. And, you know, of course, surrounding around the country, but mostly the St. Louis area. But it's been great. All I can say is it's been great.
Will the shop be open after Sunday or not? Are you shut down? Or is there an opportunity on Monday to get in here and buy some things? Maybe even on sale. I don't know.
No, I mean, as of today, we have no intentions of being open Monday. We plan to close our doors this Sunday after that putt drops. And that's why we highly recommend anyone that's coming out this weekend, if you're coming multiple days, make sure you shop that first day.
You know, one of the things I think I saw a sign for, and for those people heading over tomorrow or the weekend, if they buy something early at the shop, you can store it for them, right?
Yeah, and thanks for bringing that up. Is, you know, a lot of people, I think, have the misconception that if they buy it, they have to lug it around all day. But we actually have a free merchandise bag check right at our exit. So you, first thing in the morning, come on in, get your shopping done so you don't have to worry about anything disappearing before you get back out. Check it, and then when you leave property, pick that bag up and right off to the shuttles.
That's great. Mike, where are you from?
From hour north of Philadelphia.
So have you ever been here to St. Louis?
That's my first time.
Yeah. Did you get, I know you're so busy, but one of the standard questions we're asking everyone, including the PGA players, is did you get out and see the city at all or not?
I did a little, but my wife and two kids came out last week, and they went to the zoo.
Yeah.
And they went to the museum.
City Museum?
City Museum.
That's outstanding. Yeah,
so
we're real proud of that.
From the family was better than the tent.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's what we want. Mike Quirk, thank you so much. Enjoy the stay here in St. Louis. We're happy to have you.
Well, thanks for everything, and thank you to everyone in St. Louis.
Live from the 100th PGA Championship at Belle Reve Country Club and the National Car Rental Studios, it's Mark Reardon.
I was hoping to squeeze in 9 holes before this rain starts.
Certainly, Your Eminency.
Now, back to Mark Reardon on your official PGA Championship information station, KMOX.
PGA historian Bob Denny is with us this afternoon on KMOX. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Just fine. Lovely to be back here at St. Louis. I love this town. I was here 5 years ago for the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship.
Yeah, that was a nice event. Of course, we had the BMW Championship in 2008. Were you here in 92?
I was not. I was in the office. Someone else had been on the travel team, and I picked up late that year, and I've never been off the travel team.
How does one become the PGA historian, out of curiosity?
That's a good question. I began as a public relations writer, went to senior writer, and then sort of the scope of the job changed to much where they're looking so much for information about our heritage, and we had the PGA Museum of Golf shift over. I actually closed it down and moved some of those artifacts to the PGA Village in Port St. Lucie. And our Probst Library needed a full-time attention. We emerged with the USGA and had the Probst Library up in Far Hills, New Jersey. So all those different things are coming at one time and changing around. And so I basically took over that, and they had our centennial in 2016. So I took over this position in 2015 as PGA historian. And to be honest, it's something I've always loved to do. And it's a sport I love. It's the best people in sports come through golf, are channeled through golf. And that's why I think I moved into it in the right time as I did. And now it's become its own animal, so to speak.
So the PGA, let's see if I'm not good at math, but let me see, just based on something you just said. The PGA proper is 103 years old or 102 years old, and this championship is 100?
Yeah, in 1916, it was the PGA of America was born. So we're 102 as of April 10 of 2018. But the championship itself was halted 3 times due to war. So it was 1916, and in 1917 and 18, it was halted, and 1943. It's interesting, as I go through that, of those 3 years that we didn't play, when we returned from World War I, Jim Barnes, who was employed at Sunset Hill Country Club in St. Louis, won the PGA Championship in New York. So he worked 2 years at Sunset Hill in St. Louis.
Wow. See, there's something I did not know. That's a little bit of history, a little nugget of history as well. So over the years, you know, I don't know if there's a way to sort of put in perspective how this tournament has changed. And even if you go back to 92, right, in the last 25 years, 26 years, it really has changed quite a bit. Just the course layouts, the caliber of the players, how far the ball flies and all of that, right?
That's right. The nature of the golf industry has changed drastically. The journalism industry has changed, as you know. It's condensed. People are using more technology, as you know, to get out information 24/7 within seconds. So you have to adapt to that. Just the technology of covering a golf tournament is changed. The infrastructure is improved drastically to help the fans. It's no longer taboo to bring a cell phone inside to a PGA Championship.
Except at the Masters, yeah, not a PGA Championship,
we're
right.
About a PGA Championship.
But see, that's great because the fans really, really love it.
Right. We know that. That's the only way you can gauge them. And they have to keep in touch with their business sometimes, others. You keep it on silent. And as you know, the new technology in iPhones and smartphones will never have that loud clicking anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's perfect. It's never going to destroy golf as long as you keep it on silent.
But let's be clear here. They're not doing business. They're taking selfies
and
shots of the golfers, right? Let's be honest.
That's true. That's why you can really connect with in golf, because you can walk right alongside of them on the other side of the ropes with a player in golf. And it's a game of a lifetime. And you can see these players age different ways all the way up to their champions years and stay with them. So that's the part about covering the game of golf. You're going to be with these people for a long time if you really want to stay in the business. And that's what I found is exciting for me. And because it's the PGA of America, this is our signature championship, but it was really born out of the golf professional and the facility he represented. And in 1968, we split with the PGA Tour. We're still friends and allies, but they're a separate entity with the PGA Tour. We're the PGA of America. So we're trying to help educate the public as you know, we go through the years and try to do the same thing.
Bob Denny, PGA historian, with me on KMOX. And can you offer, maybe you can't, but I'll ask anyway, can you offer any perspective or insight as to why St. Louis was chosen for the 100th?
Well, if we go back to 2011, you'll find that the original news release related to a dual acceptance on site, first of the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship and the 100th PGA Championship. I think it was just a combination of, yes, we can bring the Senior PGA and the PGA Championship if you'll be willing to have the membership accept it and give up their course, as you know, for a period of time to do it. I think they like the Midwest very well because of the great fan base. These are sincere, authentic fans. They embrace it. It's a great sports town. It's not just baseball. We know that. I think there's
a good hockey team here, too.
Great hockey team.
We don't care about football anymore. We love golf.
That's right. And so when you can bring in this world-class championship to this location, I think it says a lot about what could be done here. And the limited space of parking is one thing. That's just one little glitch. We're shuttling in thousands of people here and doing it the right way, and it's on time. And I think that says another thing about how this championship has progressed.
So when you go back, let's go back to 91, because that one I think about a lot. And I was on the shuttle bus, the media shuttle bus, and they were showing John Daly at Crooked Stick. And, I mean, they're really, in my mind, there's been some great championships. We know about Tiger's runs. But that one, maybe just because of my age, and I was right around my late 20s at that point, maybe just around 30, I'd have to do the math on that. But that kind of got me hooked a little bit on watching professional golf.
People could go back in time and watch the replay of what's happened that week with John Daly. I think they would think, here's the second coming of Arnold Palmer. But as we know, circumstances in John's personal life prevented that. But he's still very popular, and it was the ultimate Horatio Alger story in golf. And a ninth alternate, getting a phone call, then driving all night from Arkansas, I guess it was, or Memphis, all the way up here to play at Crooked Stick in Carmel, Indiana. You'll never see that again, quite like that, ever again. But the man that took control never saw the golf course and goes out and goes 69 and then finishes with like a two-stroke victory. It was just fantastic what he did. He's a generous, great soul. We love John Daly. He's a wonderful guy and very supportive of the PGA of America. we're very happy to have him in our heritage. And if I could mention to your listeners, I'd also mention that he is easily the most popular vote-getter so far in our ultimate bracket, or the 100 Years of Greatness, that they can vote online right now to determine the greatest PGA Championship of all time by this Sunday. It'll be announced on CBS, and the fans all over the world can vote online and make their choices for that 91 PGA Championship we're talking about.
That's got to be in the mix, right?
As it goes through, the top vote getter right now.
Right
Tiger
now,
is number two in the actual votes. So they're matched up in brackets like you see in the NCAA basketball. And it's a wonderful thing to educate the public on our past great championships.
You know, we see a lot of things in sports that aren't positive, and not every athlete treats the fans the way PGA golfers do. And just watching the practice rounds and seeing the players and just their attitudes, you know, I think sometimes we forget how tough it is to be in a spot like this when you're so young. I mean, we've never had that, and there's a lot of pressure at these events, but these guys really handle it professionally and well. It's just overall, from the setup of this tournament, the practice rounds, the play, the conduct of the players, top notch.
Yes. Like I said, the reason what keeps me in the industry is the people. And the PGA professionals, especially start with the club professionals, many of whom teach those great stars you see out here playing this week. They are exceptionally gifted. They're multi-talented. It's more than just teaching the game. They do a lot of different skills at home and so forth. And we have 20 here that can play the game pretty well, too. So that adds a lot to it. And it's an evolution of the PGA professional. If I could mention your listeners about the evolution in my mind, the actual PGA professional was born in 1916. But the ancestors go all the way back to Alan Robertson, who was the first club professional in history. And his student was old Tom Morris.
Really?
That shows you how we've come along all those years.
Well, that's some good history, because you're the history guy. Bob Denny, thank you so much, and enjoy your stay here in St. Louis the rest of the tournament.
My pleasure. I just love to be where I can see the arch.
Well, we'll get you down there for sure.
Thank you very much.
By the way, John Daly through six is plus one right now. Tommy Fleetwood, he's my guy. A lot of fans' favorites because of that hair. He's plus one as well. Ricky Fowler with a 65. Joe Buck is in town. Had a chance to visit with Taryn Gregson from PGA.com. Was doing some work for us. And what do they say about having this tournament in St. Louis?
It's exciting. You know, I'm proud to be from here. I think people around the country, at least people I talk to, know this is a good sports city. It's known as a baseball town, but if you go to a Blues game, people are crazy about the Blues, and the Rams got great support while they were here. But people here are going to see a great turnout. The stands are packed. I was out there walking around. People are respectful. It's just a great place to have an event, and I think we're all going to be proud that it was here when we look back on it.
I think Joe's right about that. It is an amazing event. I think it's still an amazing event for those of you avoiding Belrive this week. Going to watch this on television with the TNT coverage this afternoon and CBS this weekend. So we're almost out of time for this hour. We'll come back, and still plenty more to come. In fact, I've heard from a bunch of folks. You know, we got VIPs in town and out here at the course, and State Treasurer Eric Schmitz out here. I said swing on by. We're also going to talk with Christian Toto from HollywoodandToto.com, because the Oscar Awards next year are going to be a little different. They made some changes yesterday that are somewhat interesting, and not everyone likes them, including me. We'll talk about that in the next hour. Live from the National Car Rental Studio out here at Belrive Country Club, this is Mark Reardon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.